is our Savior, He's our Lord.
Yeah. In order for Him to continue to be your Savior, He has to continue to be your Lord. Amen. Because otherwise, if He's not our Lord, we find ourselves stepping right back where we came from. You know?
That's right.
Again, you're back to the illustration. Bobby fell in the river. I pulled you back out. Okay, I saved you. And I said, now, don't go near that river again. Now, if you listen to me, I'll be your Lord. And you wouldn't fall back in the river, right? But if you didn't listen to me, you fell back in the river, would you need to be pulled out again? Amen. Amen. That's what we have to just remember in our lives today. That yes, we are saved by His blood. Amen. By His word. The way becomes our Lord in our life. Can you throw the lights on for me, Aaron? But especially nowadays, how the events are going so quickly and changing and getting ugly, it's sometimes we want to take things back in our own hands, right? But we know that's not what God wants. Nah, He wants Him, allow Him to guide us in everything we do. You know, and every time we open our mouth up, He wants His words to come out of it. Every time we lay our head down at night to sleep, He wants to give us those dreams and peacefulness. Okay? A little bit longer, betting He's coming back. Just a little bit more. Anybody been watching the news on the hurricanes and stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing I noticed, they had Texas first to evacuate, and it was kind of slow in a way. But you see Florida? Man, I'm telling you what, they're packed up and boogieing. You know that? Because they saw the radar. They saw what was going on. They saw how it was predicted for Texas, and look what took place. And you're back and see Katrina. And so they have faith in that radar thing, that little scale. Now, it's not, it can go either way, a few hundred miles, I suppose. But they know that, man, the warning's out there. And so they take off. And I forget how many people. There's over 1 million people that's evacuated Florida. We have two right here. No. And there's 7 million people that it's affecting right now. And so, I guess my thought, of course, being a preacher, I think about the greatest warning we've had, and that comes from the Lord. You know? That He is coming back very soon for His church. And I thought, well, where is our... What do you call them things? Radar for the Lord, you know, because we have learned over time to trust those little radars down there in hurricane season because they're accurate, getting more accurate all the time. And what He showed me this morning was in Genesis chapter 6, something that we can stand on and know that He's accurate. And that's when He talked to Noah. Y'all remember a guy named Noah?
Yeah.
And look what He told him. He said, man, the earth has become corrupt. Man, and I am going to eliminate the corruption. And so I want you to build me an ark. Okay? And then once you build the ark, I'm going to send the rains and a flood. And those who choose will be removed. And you know what? It took him 120 years to build the ark. And he stayed faithful. No doubt he went through some type of persecution. People made fun of him, probably. I imagine if he had a charge account, Lowe's or whatever, they say, here comes that crazy man. You remember Marshall Jacobs in town? You know, they thought he was crazy. Look what he took place. I mean, he built up Roscoe and that boat and stuff, you know. But he knew that he had a word from God, so he stayed faithful when he built the ark. It took 120 years. But we see that it took place how God said it to take place. And Noah loaded the animals onto the ark, being faithful to the word of God, because God told him to do it. Can you imagine? I mean, he could have argued with God. I ain't taking them skunks. I ain't taking the skunks. You know, he was obedient to God. And because of that obedience, look what took place. He was loaded in the ark. 7 days later, as they were sealed off in the ark, the rains came and the flood took place. Now, for 120 years, he put up some ridicule. He put up some people's eye, and you're just saying that, you know. You're just saying you got to build the ark because you want to come to my dinner. You know, all the kind of stuff be harassing him with, probably. But he stayed faithful because he trusted God above anyone else. And if you imagine the people after the seventh day took place, when Noah was in the ark, when the skies opened up and the floods came. Can you imagine the devastation and the screaming and the beating on the ark? Let me in, let me in, let me in. But it was too late. And Noah tried to do everything he could. But people have the free will. But it shows to us that God keeps His word. Amen? He does. So today we look at what's going on around this, and we see all these signs taking place. Does it remind you of God's word? You know, in Matthew 24, He talks to us and He tells us that in the end times there will be some signs that we will have. And I know first thing off, you might say, well, they've always said that. Well, we'll address that in a little bit. You know, because that's the first thing people tell me when I say, listen, He's coming back. Look at this stuff that's going on. Oh, they said that for a long time. And I always say, well, you know what? You're quoting Scripture. Because the Scripture says that they'll say that. But in Matthew 24, again, some of you know this. I just want to encourage you. He says in verse 4, let no one mislead you, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then he tells us we'll be delivered over for tribulation, and some of us will be killed for it. And because of Christ's name, we'll be hated. So at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. So he's talking to the churches. I mean, the time will come and many people will fall away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and they'll turn on one another. Because what happens is, if you're not rooted in the Word of God, if you're not expecting these things to take place, then your faith is going to get weak. And what happens a lot of times, people come to the other people and say, listen, haven't seen you in church for a couple weeks, you doing okay? And they say, oh, I got this going on, that going on. Well, hey, be encouraged, though. And sometimes people get offended at that, you know? Like, hey, there are things in life we need to do, right? And sometimes it's on a Sunday. Okay, and so what we do, we just encourage one, just make sure that they're not falling away from the Word of God, because sometimes you got to travel on Sundays, and wherever you go on a Sunday, if you have to go somewhere, you still be a witness for Christ, amen? Amen. You can, but some people will be offended that, so I haven't seen you for a while, and they get mad, well, I'm going to go back there again, because they're always on to me not going to church. You know, I had a lady one time get mad at me one time, because I said, I haven't seen you for a while, and she wanted to have a meeting with me. I said, okay. And I sat down with her. I thought, okay, what's going on in her life? I mean, I'm going to really reach out to her and bring her back to the Lord. And she goes, why do you keep picking on me? I said, picking on you? Yeah, you always bug me about coming back to church. We don't mention, and she mentioned a few names. You never ask them. I said, well, first of all, they don't come to church. And secondly, you're the one that got born again and got baptized. You're the one that want to follow Jesus, and you're not coming in, so I just want to encourage you to come in. Well, you don't need to be bothering me all the time. Wow. I mean, it broke my heart. But I thought I was trying to encourage her, you know, but she found it offensive because she might be sitting right there and say something to her about it, and the other couple of people, I wouldn't ask them because they don't come anyway. And so anyway, that can take place. So make sure we check our hearts. If we fall in that area, don't get mad at people when they try to encourage you to come in and hear the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to keep us going. And it said, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And you see that a lot right now behind the pulpits, a lot of places. They're not bringing forth the gospel of Christ. They're not bringing... a good barometer of where you're at in your life is a sin list, I guess you call it. You know? And if they're not talking about sin is, and that God wants to forgive us of that sins, if we're just saying, hey, you're okay the way you are, and God loves everybody, and doesn't tell us that we need to return from our sins, then that's a false doctrine, you know? And most of us like to sit around someplace and feel good about ourselves. I do too. But I want you to look at me. If I got sin in my life, I want you to tell me about it. You know, I went to the doctor the other day, and he looked at me. And well, I got to tell you, open on how I did it, but I lost 12.2 pounds. Yeah. Woo, he was happy this time. You know what I'm saying? For once, I got a good report from him, you know what I'm saying? But I wanted him, if he saw something in my life, I want him to tell me the truth, you know? The trouble is, Opal, in 3 months, I lost 10 pounds. I was proud of myself, okay? Well, he said, well, I want 20 off in 3 months. I said, doctor, you're talking about Thanksgiving. You're talking about Christmas. So I think what I'm going to do right before my next appointment, I'm going to reschedule the following month and see what I take place, you know. But again, it's the truth that's going to help me, you know. It's the truth that's going to help us. He says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Now listen, now you got to realize he is talking to Christians. He's talking to us. And the master is saying again, because of lawlessness, because of all the stuff that's going on, he's going to start wearing us down, wearing us down, wearing us down. And what will happen? Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. I mean, we'll quit loving one another. We will turn on one another. Oh, it's so sad. Now, again, don't think that we're isolated from this, because this is a warning to the church. Oh, man, families are turning against families. Children against their parents. Parents against their children. I mean, oh. And it just takes a little bit to get things started and it goes out of control. The old saying was, you give Satan an inch, he becomes a ruler. In our day, the ruler was 12 inches. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they have that anymore in schools or not. But so many things are changed. The younger folks might not recognize that. So one little thing that you compromise in your life, you know, Satan in any way, anyhow, ever he gets in there, he's got a chance of taking over your life. So we have to watch out that we don't allow our hearts to grow cold. Because he says that if we continue with them, we'll be saved. But we can walk away from them. Remember one thing that Jesus says for us to be forgiven? We must forgive one another. And so in the church, if you're offended by someone, you need to come together. Christ says, and resolve issues. That way Satan won't get a foothold in this. So this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And we're talking about the end coming. He's talking about the end of the church age will come. Okay, when this takes place, we'll still have another 1,000 years, what he's speaking about here. We'll have another 1,000 years of millennium reign. But the end of the church age, we'll be out of here. The Jewish folks will be coming into the kingdom of God during the 7 years of tribulation. So if you're sitting there today and you're thinking about, man, is the whole world going to be destroyed by this guy in North Korea? It's not going to take place. There can be war, but the whole world will not be destroyed because of that. And it goes back again to the earlier scripture, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be a nation to come against nation. And look, I mean, you can't. Everybody's mad. Every country's getting upset at one another. And they're just trying to decide what side they're going to be on right now. That's taking place right now. And we've had that. I know we've had that for many, many years, but I shared with you before about the parable of the fig tree, and that's in verse 32. So now learn the parable from the fig tree. And that's, I'm in chapter 24, Matthew, verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right to the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Again, he reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words never will. Mm. And so again, remember the fig tree is Israel. Remember that. He's saying when Israel comes back as a state, and when he's sharing this to his church, Israel is still there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it will be destroyed in 70 and never brought back together until 1948. Okay? So he said, when this takes place, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away. So again, to encourage you to walk that straight line with the Master, don't compromise, because we are the generation to see the coming of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you what year, Betty. No, Lori ain't going to tell you what day. And Carol White, I'm going to tell you what hour, because nobody knows that. But we know that we are that generation. Okay? And we have no excuse not to be ready. You know that? Maybe 100 years ago, you could be more lazier. You still don't have an excuse, but things weren't ready yet. It was would not come back until Israel bloomed again.
Right.
And that was 1948, so we're looking at 2018 or so for that generation. Generation's about 70 years now, it could be 80. But we're really that close to it. But these things are taking place. But he says in 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So, and we see things right now going on like the days of Noah. We have us, as Christians, trying to share with the people about the rapture's coming, the Lord's coming back. These are the signs of as His return and stuff. And people, I ain't paying attention early, Lori. A lot of folks aren't. You know, they're still out there partying and marrying. I mean, I'm not saying quit getting married because the rapture's coming, but I give you an excuse, guys. No. Just kidding. Love
yeah,
you.
Right.
But he says these things will take place. Sometimes we think, well, man, he's coming back and he's going to be a real gloomy and they would just sit around like this. But no, he says it's going to be the opposite. Man, it's going to be some of the best times in people's lives. They're going to think, oh, man, it's awesome. People might be getting big raises at work and bonus checks and all kind of, oh, wow, thank you, thank you. And wow, they're going to miss all the signs. You know, when you say, hey, listen. You know, I have it right now as a minister. When I share with people, you know, these things are going to happen. And, you know, we'll be part of this stuff. It'll be kind of bad until He comes and gets us. And I say, come on, you know. Bob, put an extra can of bean or two away, you know. A little sack of flour, you know. Just because we know that we'll have some things we'll go through. And I'd be surprised how many people even reject that. They won't listen at all. Oh, nah, that preacher, man, I'm telling you. You know, they say, what do they say to you? Well, God will provide. Won't He? Yeah, okay. He provided us with the knowledge that this thing's going to take place. So, and again, He wants us to be prepared. I mean, look at the folks down in Texas and Florida. You know, some of them, you know, had some things put away. Everybody will survive. Now, some of them had to evacuate. You know, and living that part of the country, Fred and Brenda down in that area, are you guys in harm's way, your house down there? Okay. So when you bought the place, you knew that could take place, okay? So you got provision, at least a way to get out of there if you have to, you know, that's just common sense, okay? This certain come this way, we're going back up north, you know? He don't hate our snow quite as bad when there's flood down there in Florida. But it's preparation, you know what I'm saying? And preparing for that, you realize that some of the stuff that you have might be gone that quick. So things that you really cherish, you might have to store somewhere else, right? Yeah, exactly like that. So we're the same way. We know these things will take place, so we just need to do what we can to be prepared to minister, you know. And you look at Samaritan Purses down in Texas, and they're headed to Florida, and Samaritan Purses operated by Mr. Graham, Billy Graham's son, and they're down there and they're ministering to people, helping people. Again, we sent money down, $50 from the church down to one of the local churches down there, and they're ministering, so you're helping feed people down there, just being prepared for it. So we don't want to get too lax in our comfort zone right now. We just need to be prepared for to be in service, you know. And I noticed the other day we was talking about how it's been pretty quiet in the Bible Belt. You know, in the Bible Belt, it's not...
The states.
Yeah, the states of the Bible Belt's been pretty quiet, you know. And I haven't quite figured all that out yet, but I know that as we continue to lift God up in our lives, you know, I don't mean this badly, but a house is just a house. It can be replaced, but our lives can't be, you know. It can't be.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us that there will be two men in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left behind. And two women will be grinding in the mill, and one will be taken, and one will be left. So again, remember, we just talked about Noah, how there's party and stuff's going on. So it could say, you know, maybe you guys might be out tonight at Taco Bell, and you're eating a burrito, and all of a sudden you hear this noise, you turn around, and you think, wow, too many beans. And the person you're eating dinner with is gone. Or it says two ladies grinding, or two ladies might be in the kitchen doing dishes, and be a noise, and boom, one of them's gone. What's taking place? The coming of the Lord. The rapture is taking place.
Yes.
And the signs are there for that. And I've shared this before. You cannot get to heaven on someone else's salvation. Understand that, okay? Now, I had blessings in my household before I was born again because of my wife. She was a Christian, so she brought blessings into the household, okay? But that doesn't cover me in salvation. I have to choose myself whether I want Jesus as my Savior and Lord.
Right.
And so again, to encourage those in your house that aren't born again, encourage them to come to church, hear the Word of God. And I know they might reject you, they might get upset with you. They might say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, okay? And you know, you don't have to. But you should have a desire to, amen. The time may come, we can't. You know, these old knees might not bend enough to get me out of bed or into the church. But again, I have a desire to. And that's the difference in there. So we've got to share that. We share that quite often here in the ministry, let people know that you say you believe there's a God. Well, I'm glad you do. But Satan also believes there's a God. And he's not coming to heaven, you know. And so once we believe there's a God, that's a good foundation. Now, what does God say? And what he wants us to do? But he says, yeah, just that quick, and people will be taken away. And in blinking of an eye. And again, when you share that scripture with folks, they might not receive it, but at least share it with them, because it will be at least be in here for when it takes place. And then, because there'll be a lot of excuses going on when the church is taken out of here, you know. Some of them, Lori, I think Scientology is saying the aliens coming back and take all the bad people out of here, you know. All kind of stuff is getting started right now for us. And so at least we plant the seed of truth in their minds. And again, there's letters of rapture that we have available in our houses. And again, if you don't have a rapture letter, you know what I'm talking about. It's a letter describing the events I just told you about. And we have it in the house around the food, because your family's coming at your food and your money. And that, this one way of sharing God's word one more time.
But we want them to. We want them to come after our food and money when we're gone.
Well, I'm saying yes, yes. They're going to come after food or money. They're going to go and look for jewelry and all kind of stuff. And some of them's coming. I don't mean to be mean. I mean, they're coming to check on you. I mean, oh man, where's mom at? Where's dad at? Where's my uncle at? Okay, and they're coming. And the food will be tight, so we'll have food in the house, everybody will feed them and stuff. But have those letters places that they will look. A Bible is an awesome thing, but to put your letter in the Bible and they're not a Christian, they might never find it. So if you put it on top of your food supply, or put it in your one in the refrigerator. We have one in the food supply. We have one in our dressers, because people sometimes hide money and jewelry in there. They're looking for clues. So don't be afraid to do that. He said, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. That's in verse 42. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. And many times you hear on the news where there might be a thief operating in a certain area of town, so people take more caution and they lock that door for sure, leave extra lights on, because they know he's out there. Well, we should be the same way in our life, continuing checking ourselves, you know. Lord, anything in my life that you don't want? Yeah, I heard an interesting comment yesterday. I listened to a preacher, and I don't want to dig more into it, but do you ever grumble and gripe?
Yeah.
Do you know when you do that, and I don't have it all studied out yet, but you commit about 30 sins, you break 30 sins right there. Because the Bible says, make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
Always give them thanksgiving for all that you have. Oh, let the light of Christ shine through. So I thought, wow, I never thought about that. But think of that. So we have to quit grumbling and griping about things. You know? I'm not saying you can't say, hey, Bob, my car ain't working right. Make this noise, blah, blah, blah. But to grumble about it. I shared one the other night about my wife, and we look at God. God said to meet all our needs, right? To the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. Can you imagine if my wife today, after service, went around you guys and kept telling you, boy, I need more money. I need more money. Shh. Oh, this is my husband. I need more money. And I just don't have enough money. Okay? And she goes around telling people that. Don't listen to her though, okay? Now how do you think that makes me feel? Really small. That I'm not providing for my wife. Okay? And then what happens is, people think, I mean, what kind of guy is Starkey? He's not providing for his wife. I mean, he's even a pastor. Of course, pastors don't have the money. We know that. So people start thinking about that. Wow. Just makes so little. Okay? And should she be doing that?
No.
Okay. Well, somebody might come up and say, well, Starkey, why don't you give your wife more money? You know, I mean, I know she needs some more. She's been telling all of us that. She's been trying to get more money from all of us. Well, Pat, if I give her more money, she'll just blow it. I give her plenty of money. I give her everything to meet her needs, okay? But man, she lets it go down to this place and that place and knick-knack over here and all this kind of stuff, okay? So I provide all her needs. But if I give her above that, man, she don't spend it wisely. Okay? You follow me on that so far? It's going to make sense to you here in a minute, okay? Because all the guys saying, yeah, it makes a lot of sense right now. Okay. But to see her is acting for money, it's like I'm not providing for her. In the background, we realize, well, there might be a reason for that. God is our Father in heaven. And we say that we believe His words, right? Okay, that He will meet our needs, and it's in Philippians 4:19. It says He'll meet all our needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what would you think if I went out every day and I kept gambling, trying to get more money to pay my bill? Now, I'm not. Don't shut down on me. I'm not telling you can't gamble. I'm just saying. I'm asking what you think. Okay. My God said He'll meet all my needs. Okay? And what I was thinking about was the other day when they had that $750 million super lotto thing. Okay? Yeah, I didn't win it, Norman, so don't worry about it. Yeah. And maybe I shared this Friday, and I don't think I shared with you guys, but I was going to buy a lotto ticket. Did I tell you guys that? I was going to buy a super lotto ticket, and then I was going to buy a scratch ticket. Then I was going to put a dollar in an envelope. Remember that? Did I tell you that? Yep. Okay. Didn't hear? Okay.
No, you were telling on Friday night.
That was Friday night? Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I was going to do that. I was going to buy a ticket for the $750 million drawing, a scratch ticket, and put a dollar in an envelope. And right before I bought the ticket, I stopped. Because of my luck, I win the $750 million. Okay. And the point I was trying to show was, as I read the ticket off, I lost a dollar on that. As I scratched the ticket off, I won the money there. But the dollar I had in my envelope, I would send it to Pastor Peter. And look at the lives we could touch for that. Okay? But what I'm saying that when I go out there and buy that and do that, I'm saying, look at my God, He's not providing my needs. See how I make my God feel? Think of that. Sometimes we don't worry, but we are making a statement to people around us. My God cannot meet my needs. And so I need to gamble. I need to scratch these tickets off. I need to do this in order to get money to meet my needs. And it's almost, it's the same way I illustrated my wife. He meets our needs. But what do we do with the stuff He meets our needs with?
Spend on what we want.
We blow it on stuff that we want. Then we walk around and say, I don't have nothing. And then so that brings, it takes away from our God. Okay? I mean, He is the greatest financial wizard there is. He tells you how to make your money grow, does He not?
Yeah.
All starts off with your tithe. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, He rebuked the devourer for you, He poured out blessing. Then He said, as you give, He'll return back to you, pressed down and overflowing. Okay? So all His elements are working right there. All we have to do is have faith in His word. And just do that. You don't need $750 million. I'm telling you right now. It will destroy you. God will give you. You ever raise children? Raise children? You raise them or grow them? You raise children, grow cattle. Okay. Aaron, would you ever go up and give your kids $20 allowance? The first time you give them allowance? No, because what would happen, they would blow all kind of stuff, would they not? Oh, they have all the bubble gum and stuff you ever seen. But as you give them a dollar for allowance, now listen, it'll last you a whole week. You know, do this and this with it. And as they do it correctly, then you give them more. Okay? Our son was the same way, you know. We gave him, I think, $5 a week allowance. Then as he got older, I started giving him $25 a week allowance. You know, man, that's a lot of money. But you know what he had to do? He'd buy his school lunches out of that. And yes. And so if he wanted to eat on Friday, he better watch out how he spends his money on Tuesday. But to grow into that. And once you're used to handling a little bit and you're faithful with it, then he'll give you more, he'll increase it more and more to where one day you could, you know. Fred could handle $1 million where I couldn't. You know, I'd be out there, oh, yeah. I'd be buying every 10 cent item over at Goodwill. You know, hey, look at what I got, okay?
No, you wouldn't, because I'd take care of the money.
Oh, you take care of the money, okay.
All right.
But again, you know, as we honor him and we grow, it's like our faith, you know. You start off with faith, but as you hear the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, that faith starts growing more and more and more, and you do a lot more with it, okay? And as you do more with it, and God will help you do more with it. That's the same way our lives today, Father. Folks, everything the Father has given us, He wants to use it wisely. And especially His Word, to understand the things that's going on in this world right now. That He won't forsake us, He won't leave us, He won't strand us. His Word is true. He will meet our needs. And I think at times, and even like right now, you look at the devastation we're going through right now in America, and even through the devastation, we are living better than the people who have normal lives right now around the world. So we are still blessed, you know. We are still blessed. He shared with us also, I want to share a verse here, I want to jump over in verse 3 of Timothy. I'm going to be in 2 Timothy. He said, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Right there, we can stop. Disobedient to parents. Now, again, he said in the end time, we're talking about the end of the church age. So, do you see children being different today than they were 50 years ago? What happened? I mean, what happened? I mean, it's hard to believe. What these children are permitted to do anymore. The Word of God says that you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Okay, that's in Proverbs, I think it is. And what he said, he's not saying beat your kid with a rod. You don't understand? But he's saying it's better for a child. Well, rod means authority. Well, that's in the Bible when he says spare the rod. Rod means authority. It doesn't mean beating your kid. Okay, but he does say it's better for a child to feel the sting of your hand on their behind than feel the sting of the fires of hell. Okay, so discipline is needed for children, not punishment, discipline. There's a difference between beating your kids and pounding your kids. And I'm telling you what, I'd rather be obedient to the Father in heaven and raise my child in a way that they will honor Him and understand that there's a penalty for disobedience. Can you imagine, Bob? Let's say you had 5 kids. Yeah, I know. You may have any hair at all. Oh, maybe you do. Okay.
I don't have no hair.
Okay, we'll see. But every time them children would act up, hey, listen, settle down. I'm going to spank your butt. Settle down. I'm going to ground you. If every time you said that and you never did it the next time, are they ever going to have any belief in what you say? They're not. Now they can do whatever they want. Okay? Well, see, what happens is the child grows that way. I believe this is part of it. And they start hearing the Word of God. And what He says the punishments are for disobedience, and true disobedience is hell, they don't really take it in effect. God won't do that. He's not going to put anybody in hell. And so as we try to share that with the younger generation, they say, well, I don't believe that. This is as much as he says you're going to spank me. Why would God do anything if he didn't do it? So see how that starts building up? If we don't keep our word, if we don't follow what God says to do, it has a lot greater impact in the lives of people, even later on in life.
Right.
You know? You lose respect, yes. And if you say you're going to do something, then make sure you do it. And say for our children. And they need to know that discipline's out of love, okay? I know my pop used to say, hey, this is going to hurt me more than hurt you. And I thought, yeah, it's my hind end you're beating on you. But you know, as a parent, you realize it does. You don't like to discipline your children, but you love them enough that you're going to be their parent first and their friend second. You know, they'll respect that a lot later on in life. But he says that we will be unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Wedges become in families, in churches, that you won't reconcile anymore. But I ain't talking anymore, Bob. You're right in my eyesight today, Bob. That's why I'm picking on you, okay?
All right.
I don't care what you done. I ain't talking to you no more. I'm done with you. Well, don't talk to me either. I don't talk to Carol, but not talking about you. I ain't talking to Carol no more. You know, I'm not talking to Bobby. See how that starts? We have to recognize this, guys, that this is like a fuse can be lit very easily over the stupid stuff, and it can blow up. You know, I shared before my mother and my aunt, her sister, they went 15 years without talking to each other. All over arguing who invited who to a birthday party. They did not come back together till 6 months before my aunt died of cancer. Over something so... Wow. Don't let that wedge anything in your lives, guys. Get a hold of it. Get together. Pray over it. Forgive one another and go on. Because he says these things don't take place. And malice gossip. And we've talked a lot about that before. So you know what gossip is. It's talking about people. Malice is destroying people's reputations. Talking about them. And man, I really want to tell you this. If you really do that a lot, best thing you can do is cut your tongue out. I'm serious. That way at least you have a chance to go on to heaven. Because no gossip will ever enter the kingdom of God. Understand that. That's so cruel. And that, and remember, no, what was the word I had a minute ago? Arguing, not arguing. Complaining? Yeah.
Grumbling?
Grumbling, yeah. Yeah, watch out on that too. Be without self-control. Oh, I'm sorry, I just couldn't control myself. You hear that more and more too. Okay? Self-control comes through the Holy Spirit by renewing our mind in Christ. And that stops the things that take place before we get involved with them. And so what happens is, the Bible says also, you heard what it said, be a droughts, okay, pestilence and droughts and stuff. Well, that also includes a drought or a the Word of God, that people won't hear the Word of God anymore. And the only thing that's going to make a difference in our lives, the strength of us, is hearing that Word of God, speaking that Word of God. And if you find some of the areas that, man, that's not like me today, start reading your Word more. Start speaking your Word out more. Be involved more in fellowship. Be brutal. And we see brutal all the time. I mean, some of us going home today, you're going to watch a football game. Yes?
That was 2 Timothy 1.
Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm in verse 1. I'm down about verse 4 now. But brutal. People be brutal. And what comes to my mind is that, you know, I'll watch a football game probably this evening. Joe, you know that? And what most people are waiting for is that big hit. Boom! Wah! And tomorrow morning, say, hey, do you see how Bob hit Fred? Yeah, oh, I tell you what. Yeah, broke his leg. Good hit. And we thrive on that. We want more and more of that. Woo! I heard something. Yeah, that's good, buddy. But we have to do, we got to watch ourselves. Because we take that entertainment and it starts to, what's that word you used last Friday night? Desensitizes, okay? They have these matches anymore, we talked about before, cage matches. You get in there and you beat people to death. I mean, you don't kill them, but, and people want more and more of it. Oh, you see his eyeball get gouged out? I mean, that is entertainment. And people are spending $60 and $70 to watch that on television.
Even animals.
They have cockfights. Dog fights. Because they want that. And I say that to say this, it keeps escalating. Okay, it's never, you know, Back in the 50s, it was Bubba Bazile and the Cocoa Butt and Flying Fred Curry, for some of you guys might recognize him, okay? They were two wrestlers, and wrestling was fake back then, it is today, but it was entertainment. But it was, people want to see old Bubba Bazile, and he was a big black guy, great wrestler. But man, he'd take his head and boom, he hit you in the head there, Opal. You remember him? Called the Cocoa Butt, and he knocked you out. Yeah, do it again. Here comes Flying Fred Curry off the top of the ring and hitting people and stuff like that. They wanted more and more of it. Well, here we are now, 50, 60 years later. That's nothing. We don't see blood. We don't see broken arms and legs. It wasn't a good match. But I do believe a time will come where you and I will be in the center ring. Going back to the Roman Colosseums again. That we will be the ones that will be tormenting. We'll be the ones that they're tearing, sending the lions in again, however it might be. Because that spirit, that is an evil spirit that overcomes people. And it is fed and it wants to eat more and more and more. Now I know this is a joke, but it's like Opal's No Bake Cookies. She brings them in. I'll have one, maybe two, maybe three. I can't get enough of them. Okay? Well, it's the same way that spirit that overcomes you. Or in people, it's in society right now. As you feed it,
right.
But it's not enough. A little bit more. A little bit more. I mean, let's go back 50 years ago. Let's look at, I don't know what they were back then. Or I guess you call them Playboys back then too. But it used to be they had magazines where ladies were clothed, but sexy looking, okay? That wasn't enough.
Modest.
Yeah, it used to be the Sears and Roebuck catalog, you know what I'm saying? Seriously. But what happened, that started feeding that spirit, and it grew. Now, that's not enough. Need a little bit more. Need a little bit more. Need a little bit more. Perverted spirit will come over you. It might be fornicating, and first thing, that's not enough. You want to do it this way and that way, and first thing, that's not enough. So you start bringing animals into the picture. You bring little kids into the picture. That is a spirit that grows and grows. We have to give it no room to start off in your life at all. Don't get sucked into it. Man, because that thing, that's part of, he says it will take place, brutal. Haters of good. How many riots have you seen against people trying to do good? Wow. Treacherous. Dangerous stuff. Reckless. Conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Conceited lovers of pleasure.
There's a comma between there. That's two different things. Conceited lovers of pleasure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yes. Yeah, is, that's two separate things there, Carrie. You're right. And conceited means that you're better than everybody. You don't need God. I did it all myself. Yeah. So we have to watch out for this. Again, he's trying to save the church from falling down in here. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Okay? So if you're trying to have a form of godliness, that means you're in the church, but you lack the power because the Spirit of God isn't in you. And these are his warnings to us. And we are there. I mean, we are right on. I got one more scripture to share with you today. And I'm going to go to 2 Peter, I think. I'm going somewhere. You can catch up with me. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He says, and know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, falling after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And you hear that again more and more today. Oh, when's he coming back? Well, I don't know how much of a warning people need. I don't know how much encouragement people need in order to believe in the Word of God. Again, we go back, we look at Noah. God's promises to him always is true. All the promises he had to Abraham. But just here recently, and this was has been taking place, and Kenny has this listed on his website, plus a few other things we come up with. But when he says there be fires, there be droughts and earthquakes and famines and all this stuff taking place. You look at right now, there's a fire going on in California. There's a fire in Washington. Oregon is on fire. Montana is on fire. And we're talking about wildfires. There's over 1 million acres on fire right now.
Yeah.
Colorado is on fire. Idaho is on fire. British Columbia is on fire. Greece is on fire. Brazil is on fire. Portugal is on fire. Algeria is on fire. Ticino, if I say it correctly, is on fire. Greenland is on fire. The Republic of Russia, Sakha, Republic of Russia is on fire. Siberia is on fire. Texas had the Category 4 hurricane, is underwater. Category 5 is headed towards Florida. India, Nepal, Pakistan, Bangladesh experienced record monsoons and massive death tolls. Nigeria experienced massive floods, mudslides, and deaths in the thousands. Italy, France, Spain, Switzerland, Hungary, Poland, Romania, Bosnia, one word I can't pronounce, that's the country, experienced a triple-digit heat wave this summer, and they called it the Lucifer. That's what they called it. Southern California continues to swelter under triple-digit heat that shows no sign of letting up. And you remember out there they put down thousands of heads of cattle because of no water. Last year they were paying $2,000 an acre to water their corn, and this year they can't even do that. Usually, chilly in August, the city of San Francisco shattered all-time records of 106 degrees while it reaches 115 degrees south of the city. Northern California continues to bake in triple-digit heat wave. Mexico had an 8.1 earthquake followed up with a 7.0 earthquake, and tsunami's warning's gone out. I mean, how much more, especially for the church, warnings do we need? Hey, man, he's coming. It's very near. Okay.
That was just this week.
And yes, this past week. And that's not counting the murder rate. In America alone is out of control. Chicago, I mean, look at that. What's going on there? Look at the disrespect for those in authority. Look at the riots. I mean, one thing the storm has done, they keep trying to bring blacks and white against one another. Who is? The media. Somebody is.
Yeah.
I don't see. I mean, maybe I'm naive. Now, I see blacks, whites, yellows, my brother and my sister. They're trying to cause problems because they want us to be upset with one another. It's a spirit. Man, I mean, and that's not just happening, not just in America. I mean, it's even homes. You have homes, your houses, people are trying to get one side against the other side. Man, we see it on a big scale in America, but even in your own house. That's why we need to make sure we honor God in our house. Make sure we follow His word. Don't let anything come between your family. Find a resolve to it. And He says to come together and pray with one another and find a resolution to it. He didn't say try to. He said to do it. And so we better do that. Amen?
Amen.
But don't let people think, oh man, you know, Bruce, my friend, man, we've known you for years and years. You know, they would want to bring separation between me and Bruce. They could go to Bruce and say, hey, Sharky, the white man, you can't like him. You know, they try to do that kind of stuff, don't they, Bruce? I mean, on Bickersville, I mean, not between us, but in a smaller town, I don't see that, but they want separation. You know how much power we can have? We come together. Man, they want to separate that. Again, the bottom line is, in this big thing that's going on is that they want one world government, which your Bible tells you, one world currency, and one world religion. And the only way to do that is separate the people. Jesus tells us that a house divided cannot stand. Understand that. So when there's trouble in the household, if it's not resolved, that household will not be standing. And we mean, one way they won't be standing, will not be standing right with God. Now, if I come to you, Bob, and I apologize, and you don't accept it, I can't change that. But at least I watched out for my household. Okay, if you want to be on your own, you can. But man, I encourage you to love one another. Continue to share the gospel. We know what happens, right? We know we win. We know He's coming back. Don't let your heart grow cold. Don't let the things people say. And I'm telling you what, right now, best way to bite things is that you come to me, Bob, and you say, well, hey, Fred told me this today. Man, can you believe that? Well, hang on. Hey, Fred, Bob's just talking to me today. He said that you said my glasses look stupid, man. Is that right? But see what I'm saying?
He said, yeah, I said that.
Yeah, well, he might. Well, that'd be cool if he did. You know what I'm saying? But the thing of it is, I'm not going to let Bob start a problem between me and Fred. Okay? And if you tell me something, oh, man, I can't believe that. Well, yeah, you care if I call Fred? Yeah. Maybe you heard it wrong. You know? And then I got to look at, what's the motive you tell me in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay? But we need to do that. Hold one another accountable. We are so scared to come to confront. We're so scared of confrontations. Now, I don't like confrontations, but sometimes you have to have it. And what it means is we get two people disagreeing. We need to come together and resolve that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't give up.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. God is, we're too close to it. Yes. Amen.